to Milwaukee County can't afford their repair. Ian Everett is a spokesman with Milwaukee County Parks Department. He says this is not the first time demolition has been suggested.
Whatever happens, though, there's definitely a need for some major fundraising and major funding to help support whatever the future direction is for the domes.
It would cost about $300 million for the new museum and conservatory building, according to the study. Everett says all of the discussions have re-energized efforts to save the domes. Everett says the number of visitors has increased since 2018. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Just ahead of the morning show with Greg Berg, quick check on sports and weather. NBA, the Bucks beat New Orleans, the Bulls lost to the Lakers. Both teams are off tonight. NHL, the Blackhawks play in Toronto tonight. Now the WGTD Wednesday forecast from the National Weather Service. Cloudy, rainy, foggy, and mild. Today's high 53. A flood watch in effect till Friday morning. Here's why. Tonight, light fog, rain, and thunderstorms. Some of those thunderstorms possibly producing heavy rain. Tonight's low 48. And Thursday, it continues. Cloudy, windy, and warm. 50-50 chance of rain. Thursday's high 66 with wind gusts up to 45 miles per hour. This morning, wind southwest at 10. We're in between rain systems at this point. 40 degrees in Kenosha, Racine, Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:11, the morning show with Greg Berg, up next.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2018. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackandrea.com. Jack Andrea, a proud supporter of WGTD's morning show. And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Well, those are familiar words, certainly. The Latin words, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, the opening movement of the Mass. And this is a beautiful Mass setting, but probably not quite like any Mass setting you have heard before. This is, as the familiar Latin text of the Mass is set by Argentinian composer Martin Palmieri in his Misa Tango, a Mass composed in the style of a tango. It is a marvelous work, and it is about to be performed on the campus of Carthage College this Saturday night as part of Carthage's Chamber Music Series. Here in our studios this morning for today's morning show, first of all, a familiar name and voice to many of you, Dr. Eduardo Garcia Novelli, who is the Director of Choral Activities at Carthage, currently the Chair of the Music Department, conductor of the Carthage Choir, and also a conductor of the Master Singers of Milwaukee. And it is actually the Master Singers of Milwaukee who will be performing this wonderful work by composer Martin Palmieri, and he is in our studios as well. He flew in either the day before yesterday, Monday, and is here in the area all week and is going to be, I think, on stage at the piano for Saturday night's concert. We also have in our studios Danielle Benelli, who is going to be playing, well, what I think of as an accordion, but I think you have a fancier term for the instrument.
Bandoneon.
He'll be playing. The what?
Bandoneon.
Yes, and that's part of what gives this work its special color. And so we are happy that we have him in the studios as well. So a warm welcome to all three of you to the morning show.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Greg. Great to be here.
Good to have you here. So I think in all of that introduction, one thing I failed to say, Dr. Garcia Novelli, is that you are good friends with Martin Palmieri, the composer. Tell us about your own personal connection.
Actually, it's an interesting story because even though we lived in the same city and we studied with some of the same teachers in the area, we did not were not classmates and were not in the same years or whatever. So he was a little behind me. So I never met him in person until 2 days ago.
Really?
We had conversations over the phone, internet, whatever. But it's an interesting thing because I left a long time ago. 25 years ago, and
we have a lot of common friends, so we never meet each other, but we have a lot of friends in common, so we have a story together.
Yeah, right. So music is like that.
Yeah.
Interesting,
right.
Very good. So, tell us, Dr. Garcia Novelli, what you have known of Martin Palmieri, even sort of third hand or from a distance, in terms of his stature as an Argentinian composer and the kind of music he's composed.
Well, one thing is that, you know, there are two conductors sitting in a place together or walking around, and we talk repertoire, right? Is that's the norm.
Yeah.
We talk repertoire. And I was, you know, with a couple of friends, Argentinian friends, and they recommended that the piece to me. And so, like, you need to do the Misa Tango. It's a great piece. It's fantastic. And you get to meet Martin. He's a great guy. And why don't you try to bring him to where you are and do the piece, whatever. So it was from there to this is a short, you know, short way. Organizing all this, it took a little while, but we made it happen. We've been working on this for more than a year now, and it was easy. And they said, you know, Martin is so easygoing. He and everything they said about him and about the piece is true.
I have been devouring it over the last couple of days. I am very, very taken with it, and I'm actually very excited to hear more of your music as well. So let's find out a little bit from composer Martin Palmieri, a little bit about your own background, exactly where it is that you grew up in Argentina, and at what point in your life music became very important. First of all, did you grow up in a very musical community and in a very musical family?
No. I started to study a little bit the piano when I was very young, maybe at 6 or 7, with my grandmother. But she is a very, very, was not a real teacher of piano. She knows a little bit about the notes, but it was important because it's the first connection, no? So I really start to study music very well when I was 13, 14. And I was lucky because I have a very good teacher in this moment, and I started to study the music very good with the harmony, counterpoint, all the things, you know. When I finished the secondary school, I have an important information about music, and I am able to decide to continue my life as a musician, you know? Of course, I study the classical music, you know, in the conservatoire also, and studying all the classical music. But when I was 23, 24, I think for myself, I am living in Buenos Aires, but I don't know nothing about tango. Mm-hmm. And I start to hear a little bit the tango. No? The tango in that moment in the 90s or in the late 80s was not very popular. The tango, no, it's the time that is a little bit underground, no,
better out of fashion.
Out of fashion,
something of the past.
Yeah, out of fashion. And my father have a lot of long plays with. Long place of tango, and I start to hear, you know, and I say I'm not able to write an orchestration of tango. You know, it's very special, no, to do an orchestration for bandoneon and the strings and piano. You need to study a lot, you know? And I decide to do this. And of course, in a moment, because I am a choir conductor, no, I start to conduct choirs when I was 18 years old.
Wow.
Very young, and I was absolutely in love with the sound of the choir. So I study a lot of this kind of music, this choral music. In a moment, naturally, I have to put together both experience. No?
Both of these things that you loved. So when you first encountered the tango, although you were just saying at that point in time it was thought of as kind of old-fashioned, maybe something more your parents or grandparents would have loved, but it didn't seem sounds like it didn't seem old fashioned to you. I mean, you really liked what you heard.
Yeah, well, you know, in the 90s and in the beginning of the 21st century, the tango becomes a little bit more popular in the young people, because the young people discover again to dance the tango, and it's plenty of milongas. The milonga is the place to dance, and there is plenty of teachers of how to dance the tango, no? And it's como un florecimiento,
un movement,
sí, es a renaissance, movement. Sí,
a renaissance of the style, and the people loving the style is really. I didn't actually witness that because I left the country before that.
And this has a repercussion also in the musicians, no? And the musicians are the young people always is looking with curiosity what to do, and the tango is a big place to be, you know. And I'm coming from the vanguard music, the atonal music, and for me I am a little bit tired of this because I started studying as an experimental composer. And I discovered the harmonies of the tango and the connection between musicians and. I think I want to be here. I decide that I want to be here.
Maestro Garcia Novelli, can you explain a little further to our listeners who kind of heard the word tango but maybe don't understand specifically what we are talking about? What makes a given piece of music a tango? I mean, is there a particular rhythmic framework that always must be present? And if so, what is that?
I will open the answer to that question as a regular Argentinian, not as a connoisseur of tango, because I'm not a specialist. We have two here to my left, two giants that know the style 10 times better than
right.
me. So I will just give
you start with the basics,
an introduction to that, and then they will help us with the rest of the answer. I would say, in simple terms, that tango is the quintessential music of Buenos Aires. Astor Piazzolla, the great composer, Argentine composer, was accused many times of not writing tango, of what he was doing was not tango. I mean, the old guard accused him of saying no tango, and that was his answer. What I write is music of Buenos Aires. So Buenos Aires being the capital of Argentina.
So it's almost like they're one and the same or indistinguishable from
for him. And I believe that he was, of course, he was right. as a segue to this, so that was the beginning of the answer. Let's hear from them. I would like to introduce to you and to the audience one of the foremost, if not the foremost, bandoneon players in the world, my new friend here, Maestro Daniel Binelli. Daniel not only has a 50-year career playing bandoneon, which, that let me use the word again, the quintessential tango instrument. Mm. You can't have really tango without bandoneon. Would you agree?
Yeah, of course.
And so I'd like to introduce Maestro Binelli, who, by the way, in his 50-year career, played with the giants of the genre, like the orchestra of Pugliese, a last name that perhaps is new to you, but is really a hallmark of the style mm-hmm. in the country. And he even played with Piazzolla in his one of the groups. He was famous for making new groups every 2 or 3 years. Uh-huh. And the sextet in the late 80s, Maestro Binelli was part of that. So I'd like to introduce him now and for him to tell us more about what is tango in Argentina, what it means, where it comes from. That will be a great thing. And feel free to talk in English or in Spanish. I can translate for you, Maestro.
Bueno, no, voy a hablar en español para luego tú me...
I'm going to talk in Spanish for me then to translate.
El origen, el tango tiene ya más de 100 años.
Tango has been around for more than 100 years.
Y se desarrolló, la historia del tango parecía la del jazz.
And the history of tango is similar to the one of jazz.
Mm. Y empezó en las clases bajas.
And started in the lower classes of the society.
De los años del siglo pasado.
At the beginning of the last century, the 20th century.
Del siglo pasado. El bandoneón arribó a Buenos Aires a principios del siglo pasado.
The bandoneon, the instrument, arrived in Buenos Aires at the beginning of the 20th century.
Proveniente de Alemania.
From Germany, of all places.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Y el desarrollo intelectual se produjo en Argentina a través de las décadas.
And the intellectual development and the style developed through the... So the decades of the beginning of the 20th century in Buenos Aires, in Argentina in general, but Buenos Aires in particular.
Y en Argentina y en la República Oriental del Uruguay.
Not only Argentina, but also we like to say, we Argentinians like to say that we own tango, but we really share it with Uruguay as well. You know, Uruguay and Argentina, they're your cousins. Mm. We're first degree cousins. We're across the river, the Rio de la Plata, River Plate,
el
right?
Rio de la Plata. Pero lo más interesante, para ser breve un poco en esta explicación,
most interesting thing, just to be brief,
es el color que tiene el instrumento porque posee una riqueza tímbrica.
Is the color of the instrument because of the timbre, the richness and timbre it produces.
En la mano derecha tiene un color, en la mano izquierda tiene otro color.
And in your right hand you have one type of color, and the left hand you have a very different type of color.
Y más aproximadamente en la derecha puede tener un sonido de alguna manera aproximado al oboe.
The sound on your right hand, let's talk to, just teach our audience that it's an instrument that has buttons on your right hand and your left hand. It's saying that the one on the right hand, the timbre is close in sound to the oboe.
Y en la mano izquierda puede ser un instrumento de viento, como puede ser un saxo tenor o un violonchelo, mm-hmm. el color.
So the on your left hand, the color could be the one of a tenor sax, or, ¿cuál otro era?
El saxo, el cello.
Or a cello.
Oh. Pero la particularidad que tiene es que es armónico, mm-hmm. o sea que se puede mm-hmm. desarrollar como el piano con cuatro... A simultaneidad de acordes mm-hmm. en la izquierda
up,
y en la derecha.
Up to eight notes right. You can play with
right.
four fingers.
So the particularity is that, of course, you can play a melody like in one of those instruments that we just referred to, but you can, it's a harmonic, essentially harmonic instrument, because you hold your instrument, but you have four fingers in each hand that you can play. So you can play up to eight pitches, right, at the same time.
Y permite la posibilidad de ejecutar música armónica. Armonizada que puede ser música barroca o puede ser música contemporánea.
You can, you know, allows you to play music using harmonies. You can play baroque music. You can play contemporary style, avant-garde music with with bandoneón as well. Not only tango, but you know, you can do all those.
Y, y bueno, y tiene toda una historia enraizada con el tango.
Right, but as we say, the history of the instrument is primarily related to the tango, right?
So ahora, sí.
So, unlike our accordion, there's no keyboard on this instrument.
Yeah. Correct, you're right, you're right. I mean, people usually confuse the two instruments. The accordion has a keyboard, like a piano thing, right? On one side and the other buttons. This is both sides, buttons only, right? Yeah. Though essentially the instruments work in the same way. They open and they close, right?
That's a very similar sound, too.
In that sense, there is a little bit of similarity. To me, the bandoneon, and this is my personal opinion, is like 25 million times better. But that's my personal opinion.
In your unbiased opinion. Right. I would like to know from Mr. Benelli, when did you begin studying this instrument?
Bueno, se estudia mucho por... Study, lo voy a decir en mi castellano, así voto. Se estudia, generalmente en mi país, se estudia por herencia.
Gisela, well, you start studying by inheritance.
Sí, los padres enseñan a los hijos y se va transmitiendo. Aún hoy pasa eso.
Even today, that happens that parents teach their children this particular style, this particular instrument.
Pero ahora está, se han creado métodos y se sistematizó la enseñanza. Mm-hmm. Entonces entró en algunos conservatorios de Argentina, se enseña y muy bien, y hay una corriente muy grande de músicos jóvenes que estudian.
With all this renaissance that we were talking about over the last 25 or 30 years, now there is a systematization, that would be a word, like sort of putting that in with new methods and publications, and actually what we call in English a major, right? Ah. In a conservatory or a university or whatever, where you can study actually the instrument now, because it's like now there is a plan, there's a way to actually do it in a formal way.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he learned though from his father, from your father?
Yes, yes. Sí. Ahora, luego después me profesioné y estudié composición, armonía, en fin, todo lo que se estudia.
He not only studied the actual instrument, but he studied composition. He's also a composer in his own right, and harmony and counterpoint and all those things.
Pero hay algo que quiero destacar que tiene que ver con la misa, tango.
Would like to point out something special that is related to the mass.
La clásica orquesta típica argentina, que viene a ser la sinfónica de los argentinos.
Right. So the typical orchestra of tango, which is a very peculiar set of instruments. In the same way that you have a jazz orchestra, right?
Right.
That is a specific,
Dixieland.
Right, combo. Or you have four saxophones or four trombones, whatever the number is, right? In the same way, well, there is a specific lineup for the typical tango orchestra.
Que tiene cuatro bandoneones.
Four bandoneones.
Mm.
Bueno, cuatro bandoneones, piano y contrabajo, que es la sección armónica y rítmica.
Four bandoneons, piano and double bass. Mm.
Y después la línea de cuerdas, que es cuatro violines, viola, violonchelo, completa el sonido.
Then the line of strings, they usually have maybe four violins and then violas and cellos.
Y eso es lo que le da el color particular.
And that gives that a very particular color to tango.
Que es, también tiene que ver con la misa tango, porque el color del bandoneón le da una identidad sonora diferente a cualquier otra misa. Por eso es que es tan original.
Correct. So Daniel refers to the color that bandoneon brings to the misa tango. I mean, it gives us a very particular color that relates strictly with tango. If you hear actually the misa tango without the bandoneon and without the tango style,
something is lost.
Hmm.
Right. Yeah. There's something missing.
It's probably still beautiful, but not. It's not. of Buenos Aires anymore.
Exactly.
Very good. Let me reintroduce all of you for though anybody just joining us on today's morning show. We're happy to have with us Dr. Eduardo Garcia Novelli from the music faculty at Carthage College and composer Martin Palmieri, who is the composer of a work called the Misa Tango, a mass composed in the style of the tango. And I think the work is sometimes titled Mass of Buenos Aires well.
Yeah.
And also with us in our studios is Daniel Binelli, who is a virtuoso on this particular instrument. And it's not the accordion, though. It's an Argentinian variation. And what is it called again?
Bandoneon.
Mm-hmm. And when we hear this wonderful work, that is part of the distinctive color that makes it especially beautiful. So, Martin Palmieri, you were telling us that at some point you wanted to draw these two different loves together. That is, your love of choral music in a more sort of standard fashion, and then this thing of the tango, bringing that style into a choral work. When you sat down to actually do that, how difficult was it? And were you surprised by any of the challenges that ended up confronting you when it came time to actually do this thing you had dreamt of doing?
First of all, I want to say that the creation of this piece was a little bit an accident.
Ah.
Yeah, because I was the conductor of the choir of the University of Law in Buenos Aires, and at the same time I have my tango orchestra playing in different. Of course, I play in the auditorium of the academic auditorium with the choir, and maybe in the border of the city with the tango orchestra. No, it's like to be part of two different universes. But of course, the people of the choir comes to see the performance of the tango orchestra, and they have the idea to do something together. It's natural because I am the leader of both.
Groups,
and they ask to do something. Well, okay. The problem is the repertoire, no? What to play with a tango orchestra and with a choir? There doesn't exist a repertoire for this. So I decided to create some a cappella tango arrangements for four voices, and to the end, so to give to the public a part of the tango orchestra, a part of a cappella tango arrangements for the choir, and at the end together. A kind of three tangos, traditional tango, old-fashioned tangos with new arrangements. The result was not very good because the sound of the choir is very difficult to sing in the way of the singers of tango. The declamation of the text, the freedom to sing the tango is against the perfect rhythm that should be together in the choir, no? So I after this concert I decided to finish this experience because I think it's not possible to do something together. But the people of the choir loves the work, and I have to say that the public loves also, no? So I say, just because I'm not thinking that this is a good way to stop this, and the choir insists to do something more. And I said, well, maybe it's necessary to write something special, the original music written especially for choir and tango orchestra.
Rather than trying to convert something that already existed into something that would work for your choir, you thought it was better to start from scratch with an entirely original piece.
Yeah, and I think that was good because this was in the 1925. And have maybe seven or eight years of experience with tango. I wrote a lot of short pieces, and I think that's in my head. I am preparing preparando mi habilidad para poder hacer esto, juntando la información.
He's preparing his way, his ability, and his resources to put those both fields together.
Exactly. So in a moment, I am ready to put together this because I have the experience in both universes. I have to say that the goal in the music of 20th century is to build bridges between the tradition of classical music and the music of the world. And there's a lot of examples of this in the last 10 years.
Right.
Korean music, there are a lot of new masses from Korea, from Africa. We have the Misaluba, very 50 years old music, no? But there are a lot of this mixing of the tradition of the European, yeah.
No, that brings me to mind that it's very important that let's honor a great composer of Argentina who did something really similar to what Martin did 50-some years ago. His name is Ariel Ramirez, with a piece that is extremely well-known all over the world. It's called the Misa Criolla.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he wrote that piece in the early 60s when Vatican II happened, and all of a sudden the Catholic Church allowed the use of vernacular. And not only the use of vernacular, but Ramirez had a clever idea of joining folklore, Argentinian folklore, not tango, folklore, with a traditional mass setting. Mm-hmm. So mass text in Spanish. But Martin, what he did was to join tango and traditional mass setting in Latin. Mm. So that's a little bit of a relationship there.
A biography I read of you said something about the first performance of Misa Tango actually happening with the national something or other of Cuba.
Of Cuba, yeah.
So that, so how did that, why is it, so was it in Cuba?
No.
They came to Argentina?
Yeah, it was a very important tour of the Symphonic Orchestra from Cuba in 1996. And they come to Argentina, to Chile, and to Peru.
Ah.
It's a more than 1 month tour, and one of the conductors of these performances was Fernando Álvarez. Is a very good friend, and when he came to my house and I showed in the computer the music of Misa Tango, he said me, if you finish this for August, we can do it in this tour of the orchestra. So he started to practice with him in La Habana, and they arrived to Buenos Aires, and we prepared the Misa Tango with my choirs, with the choir of the University of Law and the La Municipalidad de Vicente López.
Wow.
Yeah.
I also read a long list of all of the countries around the world where this piece has been performed.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important thing to acknowledge as well, that this is not just something that people in Argentina love to hear, but it has been very well received all over the world.
The story starts not immediately, but in 2002. We have the chance to the recording that you are we are hearing is the recording of 1997. I was lucky because I can have a recording very fast. 1 year later, I have this recording that is very good quality, and the chance to show this music, and immediately because of the bandoneonist. The bandoneonists are all the time looking for new music to play, and a German bandoneon player come to my house in Buenos Aires and say, we want to, I heard the CD and I want to do the German premiere in Freiburg in Germany. And they say, yes, of course. And I gave the scores, and they play immediately in the first performance in Europe. The publisher comes to see and called me to publish the music.
Wow.
So immediately it starts to be very well known, because the choirs likes the conductors and the choirs are looking for new music, more in Germany, in Switzerland, in France, that there's plenty of choirs, and they are playing all the time Handel, Mozart, Beethoven, all the big pieces. But of course, it's necessary to create new music in a tonal way, in music that is singable and is good for the choirs. And and I think the Misa Tango is a good choice for enjoy.
In a moment, I want to ask Dr. Garcia Novelli about his group in Milwaukee, which will be performing this on Saturday night. But I want to play just a little bit more of the work. And I read heard you say in an interview that the Credo is the most challenging movement of the mass for any composer to set. Just briefly say, for the sake of our listeners, I mean, I know why, but our typical listener might not understand why the Credo presents particular challenges and also really exciting opportunities for a composer.
Yeah. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The credo, I think the credo is the action of the Misa. It's a kind of a small opera.
Mm.
Because it's not just a pray. It's not just praying. Mm-hmm. Praying. It's action. You have the crucifixion. You have the resurrection, and of course it's the most deep moment of the text, and even in the service, no.
Mm. And I think you used the word theater or theatrical.
Of course. I think it's the best part to put in music, no. I use a lot of symbols, not like Bach, for example. I don't want to be out of the tradition. For me the challenge was to stay in the tradition, to respect the structure of the traditional academic mass. But I said that I use the structure, but the bricks are from Argentina. The elements, the construction is with the elements of the tango, no? The rhythms, the melody, the harmonies, and I think I use, for example, we were talking yesterday about how to build in the beginning to create this sensation of faith, no? Mm. Of belief. I believe, and nobody can change my mind. And I stay with the same note. If you can. Credo in unum Deum Patrem Omnipotent. I stay. All the temptation of the melodies in the violins and the harmonies try to change your way, but you keep the way till Jesus Christ.
And they are in unison as well.
So
singing the same note. Again and again and again, and also.
And let's remember that we say in credo in unum Deum.
Exactly.
I believe in one God.
Wow,
so that unison thing is very
exactly.
representative. Right?
Let's hear the opening of this. This is the credo from the Misa Tango of Martin Palmieri. I hate to draw us away from that. That is the opening to the credo from the Misa Tango of Martin Palmieri. It's going to be performed this Saturday night at Carthage College as part of Carthage's chamber music series. And so actually performing it will not be the group that Maestro Garcia Novelli typically is conducting in Siebert Chapel. Tell our listeners about the group who will be singing the Misa Tango and how they have received it.
It's the Master Singers of Milwaukee. I've been conducting the group for the last 8 years or so. The choir has been in existence for more than 40 years, I believe 45 years. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's an independent choir in Milwaukee, usually somewhere about 30 to 35 members. We actually have 35 people singing for this concert, and I must say is the highest number in years. I mean, when we brought this piece, people were really interested in singing because it's so different than what we usually do. So the reception of the piece has been incredible, and we had a dress rehearsal last night in Milwaukee, and they were all like in awe of having the composer there is always a wonderful thing. And the sound of Maestro Binelli and the bandoneon, it was truly amazing. Greg, before we move, I think it will be important for us to say that in the concert on Saturday night, we will not only perform the Mass. Of course, Mr. Tango is the central piece of the concert, but Maestro Binelli will be performing four solos of his own arrangements of tango. A very traditional tango. In a solo version. So there will be a time for Maestro, about 20 minutes or so, that he will play alone. So that's going to be a treat in and by itself.
I was just thinking the same thing, a rare treat at that.
Correct.
Because this is an instrument we don't get to encounter directly very often at all.
And the choir will open the concert actually with two arrangements a cappella of tango. And one will be El Último Café, is the title, is the last coffee. Which is a very sad text of supposedly a couple who is saying goodbye, the last time that they meet. And then an arrangement with nonsense syllables of Verano Porteño by Astor Piazzolla. So it will be Piazzolla's music is instrumental, so this arrangement is with just syllables. So that's the concert on Saturday at Seabrook Chapel, 7:30. It's free of charge. It's important to notice that because it's part of the chamber music series at Carthage. But if you give me 30 seconds, the next day, Sunday, we're going to perform it again in Milwaukee. So if you're in the audience and you cannot make it on Saturday for any reason, and you can make the trip to Milwaukee on Sunday, the concert is going to be at 4 p.m., it's going to be an All Saints Cathedral in downtown Milwaukee. And the concert will be exactly the same.
Very good. That sounds quite exciting. Martin Palmieri, I watched the work in a performance on YouTube, and you were at the piano. Mm-hmm. And the camera was often on you. Mm-hmm. And one could just sense, first of all, what a marvelous pianist you are. But on top of it, the joy you have in playing this piece. What is that like to be the pianist for your own work, and particularly with somebody else on the podium conducting? Is that a strange kind of mixed experience for you?
Well, I enjoy this a lot because I think that the music is not, as a composer, I think that the music is not possible to play it only in one way. And normally the composers are not the best performers of his own music. So I have to say that my version now of the Misa Tango is a mix of the, because maybe I play this piece with around 500 different conductors.
Wow.
500.
Really?
Really, yes. I don't have the exact numbers, but a lot. And every time I learn something about the music. And I have to say that my version is a mix of a lot of different ways that I learned with different conductors.
Maestro Binelli, how many times have you performed Misa Tango over the years?
Bueno, first time, 20 years ago, in Mendoza, city de
the city of wine.
The Argentina.
Oh, we can say that, but it's the city of Malbec. Wine, right? If you go to Argentina, Mendoza is the capital of the province of Mendoza, and that's where Malbec is championed.
And then you've played this many times since?
And then in Carnegie Hall. Master, in Carnegie Hall.
Carnegie Hall.
Last year. Carnegie Hall.
Two times. In 2015.
Misa Tango and Credo.
Sí, a new piece. We made 2 years ago the world premiere of a new piece with that was a commission from New York, and we play together this with choirs of Germany and Europe and in general.
Wow.
Yeah, big.
By the way, what is your preference in terms of the number of singers to sing this piece? I mean, do you think of it as a piece that works best for a fairly intimate group like the master singers, or do you like choirs of hundreds also?
No. I think it's not necessarily too much people. I think with a very good quality chamber choir of 30 people, 40 people, with a small ensemble of strings and one bandoneon and piano, it's okay.
Well, I know a whole lot of people are tremendously excited about this opportunity to experience this work in person. Maestro Garcia Novelli, remind our listeners one more time of exactly when this performance is Saturday night and also of the performance Sunday afternoon, if that is more convenient for any of our
listeners.
Sure.
Saturday night is at Siebert Chapel on the campus of Carthage College. And it's free of charge, even though you need a ticket to get in. And two ways of getting the ticket. If you go to the website, you can print your own ticket and bring it to the door. That will be probably the most expedite way of doing. If not, you can just go to the door and there will be somebody there printing a ticket for you or handing a ticket to you. And it's, once again, it's free of charge, but you need a ticket. Now, the next day at All Saints Cathedral downtown Milwaukee, the concert is at 4 o'clock. And I will correct myself. I said the concert is going to be identical. The truth is that there will be two dancers for that concert, two tango dancers. They will dance to one number of Maestro Binelli's playing. So that will be slightly different. If that concert will have a little bit of a difference. 4 o'clock, All Saints Cathedral on Sunday.
Very good. Well, my warm congratulations to all of you in this collaboration, and my thanks to you for being part of the morning show. Dr. Eduardo Garcia Novelli, chair of the music department at Carthage, director of choral activities, and artistic director of the Master Singers of Milwaukee, performing the tango, Misa Tango of Martin Palmieri, and in the group performing, the renowned Daniele Binelli. I thank all of you for being part of the morning show today. This was quite exciting and fun. And here are a few moments from the Benedictus to finish us out. It's a minute before 9 o'clock here on WGTD. Tomorrow on the morning show, we are excited to be able to have with us for her monthly visit to the program, Nan Calvert. And then on Friday, I'll be speaking with author Jonathan Carmel. His book is called Dying to Work, Death and Injury in the American Workplace. We want to remind you that the morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. The program is archived on our website, wgtd.org. And the morning show is now available as a podcast. And it is available on several of the major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So if you search for WGTD Morning Show with Greg Berg, you will find it there. And